having the knowledge ourselves, and we can go to the grocery store armed with the knowledge we need, it really becomes an eye-opener, because the majority of our products here in the US, I think even more so than other parts of the world, are not as well regulated and have so much toxicity in them.
Welcome to the Plant-Based Curious Podcast, a place to explore and discover the plant-based and vegan lifestyle. Each week, we'll talk about our own stories and real discoveries, alongside our experts and experienced guests, about changing behaviors, whole food living, nutrition, and the amazing facts and positive curiosities about veganism. We're here for you as a guide and a place to gather resources. But with the simple click of our subscribe button, you're allowing yourself a little time and good energy to listen, laugh, and indulge in the lifestyle you may love. Please welcome your host, a certified holistic coach and plant-based lifestyle believer, Diane Randall.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Today we're going to talk about sugar and why it is so addictive as cocaine. And I want you to know, at all transparency, I am a former sugar addict. I am so excited that Lynn Wadsworth, a board-certified holistic health practitioner and certified wellness cooking instructor, will bring her expertise to help us understand the intricate relationship between sugar and our health and wellness. Lynn, welcome to Plant-Based Curious.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
I have to start with asking you to share a bit about your personal journey with sugar and how it has led you to the work that you currently do.
Yes. I'm originally from England, all things British. One of our main things is our staple of Cadbury's chocolate.
Okay.
So even as a child on Fridays, my dad would come home and give us our pocket money, and my sister and I would make a beeline to the grocery store across the street and buy our chocolate. That was our treat. So that, of course, started my journey of thinking of sugar as a comfort food. I moved to the US, married a military guy, and would go home to England, and I would load up my suitcases with English chocolate. And I was so addicted to it that when I brought it home, I would put it in the freezer, and if any of my kids would dare to touch it, I would just go off. They really didn't teach us that back then in England, because I think to a certain extent, our diets were fairly good. We were still going and purchasing our foods at bakery stores or the greengrocers and getting our fresh produce. But when I came to the States, I really took a nosedive. One of the biggest things is that when I first got here, because we shopped in the commissary, and I was just fascinated by some of the products on the shelves. My biggest one was bread, because I was used to having to go down every couple of days and buy bread. Well, they've got bread on the shelves, and it lasted for 2 or 3 weeks, and it absolutely amazed me. I'm thinking, gosh, how can this be? This is wonderful. So with my ignorance back then, I didn't know of all of the added sugars with things like breads and processed foods. So I not only was continuing on with all that I was eating with my chocolate, but it was like anything I could get my hands on. Back then, we had Little Debbies and all of these great little things that you could just pick up off the shelves and buy that helped my sweet cravings. And I was still drinking my tea back then with sugar and milk, which I've switched now. I never drink tea anymore because I don't like to have the sugar, and I hate tea without sugar unless I have herbal tea. So I didn't realize the poison I was putting into my body, not just with the actual sugar, but with all of the processed foods that we eat. And prior to becoming a health coach about 10 years ago, I began with high blood pressure, high cholesterol. I'd already had my gallbladder removed by then. I was constantly falling asleep at my desk 2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I had no clue why I even felt like that. And my health just deteriorated and I got fatter and fatter. I was a yo-yo dieter. I would eat what I wanted and then I'd think, oh my gosh, I've got to diet. And so then I diet when I was dieting. For example, when I was on Weight Watchers, I wouldn't go for the healthier options. I'd go for their 2-point sweet things. So it wasn't until I just had enough, because actually my migraines had become daily occurrences and I just couldn't go on the way I was going because I couldn't even get through the day without a headache and without feeling so sick. And I actually had to enroll in a headache clinic here in the Tampa Bay area because I was addicted by that point to Vicodin. And at the same time, I was going through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition for my health coaching certification. And it was like all these huge aha moments, because both ends of the scale, with the headaches and with the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, all were teaching holistic ways and really were teaching me how to eat healthily and how bad sugar was. And then, of course, the big deal came when I learned that cocaine was more addictive or less addictive than sugar is. And it's the same part of the brain that works whether you're having sugar or whether you're having cocaine.
You're absolutely correct. And I went to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition as well. And that is when I learned what the sugar was really doing, because it's so funny, our stories really align. I started when I was a child, I'd get a few pennies in my pocket and the candy stores were in the neighborhood. So I just had to run a block. And if I had a dollar, I'd buy a dollar's worth of penny candy. Or if I had a quarter, I'd buy 25 cents worth. But back then you could get a lot of candy for a quarter. And that literally started my journey. So that is so interesting that you say that. And then we become addicted and we don't know why, even into adulthood. So it's so awesome that you're on here to talk about sugar and what we can do about it.
Yes, there's so many of our products out there on the shelves that they say this is healthy. But what people don't realize, it only has to have one ingredient in it that is a healthy thing. Like, say, for example, you've got oats in there. Well, oats might be healthy, but look at what else is in that package. And when we start having the knowledge ourselves and we can go to the grocery store armed with the knowledge we need, it really becomes an eye-opener, because the majority of our products here in the US, I think even more so than other parts of the world, are not as well regulated and have so much toxicity in them.
And you're absolutely correct, because a lot of the processed foods that we do sell here, they have to be changed in order to distribute to Europe and other countries. So that says a lot right there. It really does. So why is it so addictive? Like you said, it's compared to cocaine, and that is pretty addictive.
Yes, I would imagine. It uses the same chemicals in the brain that are used for other addictions. And so not just cocaine, but I think about my own addiction to Vicodin when I was having such bad headaches. They so readily would hand out the Vicodin, but not other medications. So it's all the same chemical brain makeup, so to speak, and it all acts in the same way. And so, unfortunately, the more we get, the more we want. We all know and have heard about cocaine addiction. It's not easy for somebody to get off cocaine or other drugs. You usually have to have help. It's the same with sugar. You can't. So I had to kind of cold turkey it because of the status of my migraines, but I had help here at Tampa General Hospital where they had the headache clinic. if I'm working with people, I do it step by step because it's not something that you can stop all at once. Just like you can't stop cocaine all at once, you can't stop hydrocodone, Vicodin, whatever you're addicted to. It's a gradual process and it's a learning experience.
It is a learning experience and it is a process. I had started the journey, but I was still addicted. I would forego food for something sweet. And isn't it amazing how it affects our mood?
Yes.
Where seriously, we want to hurt somebody. So after I had started my plant-based journey more serious at the time, I'd say months after no sugar, I didn't even notice I didn't have anything sweet until 3 or 4 months passed. And it surprised me because that wasn't what I was shooting for. But what I realized was without the sugar in my system, my body was able to heal itself from the sugar and the dopamine hit that I was getting. And I would say 20 years later, I am still not addicted to sugar, but I'm not as crazy or naive to think that if I would eat regular sugar that I wouldn't get addicted again. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of like an alcoholic. They have these 12-step programs for a reason. And it's the same with sugar, really, because it's so easy to get back on that slippery slope. And once you're on that program again or eating regimen of putting sugar into your diet regularly, then it's like you have to almost start all over again. So I'm not saying don't go out and enjoy yourself and have a dessert once, but I can really count on one hand the number of times I go out to a restaurant in a year and have that. Now, if I'm on vacation, especially if we're on a cruise ship, yes, I'm going to have my desserts every night because that's a treat.
That's the slippery slope right there. So you eat your desserts, but how do you bring yourself back when you get home?
A lot of it is mindset. And this is something I used to do with migraines. So with my migraines, I know what my triggers are. So my triggers mostly are cheese. Funnily enough, yogurt, because I love yogurt, but it triggers a migraine. There are different foods that trigger it, but cheese was the big one. And of course, I loved my English cheese. Mm-hmm. So I would always ask myself this question because it comes back to mindset. So if I eat this cheese today, how am I going to feel tomorrow? Am I going to have a migraine? And is it worth that pain just to have that bit of cheese now? So on the occasions where I've gone ahead and said, to heck with it, I'm to have some cheese, probably 98% of the time I would wake up with a migraine. And then I would think, what on earth was I thinking? So it's the same thing. You've got to employ some quick mindset things. So you get back off your vacation. Well, you even go, you prepare ahead of your vacation. Okay, this is just going to be something I'm doing for 7 days, however long. When I get back, it's off the table again. So it's not that it's off the table for good. I'm not going to do it today. I'm not going to do it tomorrow. So when I get back from vacation, I have to start thinking again. If I eat this chocolate or if I eat this dessert, number one, what's it going to do to my health? What's it going to do to my energy? How am I going to feel? But am I going to get back on that slippery slope? And is it worth it? Do I want to gain that 30, 40 pounds again because I'm on this hamster wheel again?
Absolutely. It's the weight gain. But I used to eat something sweet. And then I wouldn't do it. But my experience was a little different because let's say I didn't eat anything sweet years ago for like 3 months. And then I had a piece of cake. I would be like a rabid dog for like 2 months because I just couldn't help myself. I just couldn't stop. It was just incredible to experience.
Yeah.
Until I stopped it completely. And that's a process, just like you said, over time. But now, let's say I've eaten dessert and somebody will say it's vegan and I might eat it. But the difference is now my body reacts so violently if I have real sugar. The headaches are huge. Mm-hmm. So that has been a deterrent for me not even wanting it, because the joy and the pleasure that I got in the past, that's not what I'm going to get. And so now I don't even think about it, but I understand what you're saying. You would get the headaches and come. Yeah, it's so fascinating that most of us, especially people in America and everywhere, that we're hooked, that we're so hooked, and we just can't help ourselves. So can we talk about the other side of the equation? Because as you and I learned from going to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, it's not about discipline and it's not our fault. It's premeditated in some way with the food companies. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, they feed into our addictions. And this is the problem with processed foods. Oh, you can have this nice sweet thing because it has oats in it, so it's healthy. Oh, you can have these protein bars because they're good for you. They really sell us this whole mentality of, oh, you can still do it because part of it is healthy. So I always like to tell people, try to make them aware of, because they think they've been fed this lie of sugar-free or low-fat, no-fat garbage. So take, and I'm going to use Yoplait because it's what I used to eat at one time. So Yoplait was great maybe when they came out with it, when it was a pure yogurt. But what they've done is they have stripped away all the nutritious value to make it no fat, 1% fat, whatever, no fat, low fat. And if you start reading the labels, in place of all of the good nutritious stuff, they've put in toxic processed foods, fake sugars, things that in and of themselves will cause diabetes, high blood pressure, all kinds of diseases. But yet they put out there that it's healthy. So in our society, especially more so than in Europe, because they are more aware of it.
Correct.
Over here, we're being fed this lie that this is a healthy alternative for you, but it isn't, because you've got to read your labels and learn that these additives are just so unhealthy and toxic for us.
And that is the biggest reason I do this podcast. And I also have a plant-based curious community that people can join for free, because I want to help educate the public about food, because we are so conditioned to just think fast, don't want to think about it, just jump into it. But like you said, it's so toxic. And I tell my students, because I also teach a class, a plant-based class, I don't care what it says on the front of the box. If it's cereal, if it says healthy or natural, you want to look at those ingredients. Yes. Can you talk about that a little?
I actually teach a class at the University of South Florida, and I don't know them all off the top of my head, but anything that ends in OSC is usually a fake sugar. There are just so many different names for sugar that we don't even think about. So we often think about things like dextrose. So my rule of thumb is, if there are more than 5 ingredients, if you can't pronounce the names, you don't want to buy it. So in this class, and this is one area I go into quite in detail, because there is so much stuff on a label that we need to be aware of. And I do offer shopping trips to people, so I can take them down the grocery aisles and say, this is not what you want. This is going to be detrimental to your body. So it's just so enlightening when you really begin to understand how corporate America is selling us fake news.
Exactly. And not only that, marketing goes to great lengths to get you not to pay too much of attention. It's so deeply embedded in our consciousness that people get upset sometimes if you're talking about sugar because they feel that you're taking something away from them. I know when I first started my class, I would literally set it up to say, this is information. Take what you want, leave the rest, because people would literally get upset initially.
Yeah, because it's a huge part of our life. And let's face it, everything that we want it instantly. We want a quick fix for everything. And when it comes to sugar, there is no quick fix in withdrawing from sugar. And that's what your body is doing. It's going into withdrawal, just like if you were an alcoholic or a drug addict, you go into withdrawal. And that's where you get the headaches, you get the bad tempered part that comes into play. And you can get bad tempered, as we've already said, if somebody tries to steal your candy away from you. So imagine what it's like on the flip side of the coin when you start getting off of it.
And what I would say, it has to be gradual.
Yes.
You can get off. You can start eating foods without the chemical sugars or the refined sugars. And once you clear your palate, which I experienced, who knows how long it takes.
Yeah.
And you just notice one day that you're not craving as much as you used to, or you have some kind of control. Some kind of control. I just love the work that you're doing. Someone's out there today and they are just as addicted as we were at one time. What's the first thing you could tell them to do?
First of all, take stock of what you're doing. Think about what you're eating. Think about where your health is. Think about how you feel. Do you fall asleep at your desk literally in the afternoon? And one of the first steps to do is to, in my mind, this is how I did it, start keeping a food journal of what you're eating so that you can see what it is. And then not just that, but show how you feel when you eat it. That was how I found out that I couldn't eat yogurt. So when you've got a food journal and you see it in front of you, and you have to be very honest with yourself. Okay, I've eaten sugar today and I feel this, this, and this way. And as you gradually see what it's doing, think about what it's done to your health. Do you have obesity? Do you have diabetes? Do you have high blood pressure, high cholesterol? Is this sugar playing a role in that? And then start with one habit at a time. One of the first ways I teach people is when you're craving, go grab a glass of water, because are you really hungry? Are you craving something because you're hungry? Is there something going on, some kind of stress in your life that's making you want to comfort eat or even comfort drink, because you're getting the same out of wine, you're getting that sugar high? And just start simply. Hydrate yourself. Make sure that you're drinking at least 64 ounces of water a day. The recommended now is half of your body weight in water every day. Remember, coffee and tea, black tea, are dehydrating. They are not going to help you with dehydration. And the other most simplest thing to do is before you eat that, take a step back and do some breathing exercises. Because what we're trying to do is shift our mindset, and we're trying to do something simplistic to move our mind away from that we're craving, because most of the time our craving is in our head. It's not because we're hungry. It's not because, oh my gosh, I'm going to keel over if I don't have some sugar. It's all in the head. So we've really got to get our mindset right. And you can do some simple things. Breathing to me is one of the easiest ways to step away. Another great thing you can do is go stand outside, take your shoes off, go stand in nature, feel the grass beneath your feet. Just being outside in the fresh air, you might come back in and find, oh, hey, that craving has gone away.
And another part of that is, what else could we be craving? Is it really food that we're craving? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, of course, as holistic health practitioners, we are thinking about the whole body. So maybe there's something not right with a relationship. Maybe there's some stress going on in your life. Maybe you're out of balance. Maybe even you're in midlife and your hormones are going crazy. A big one for corporate America, of course, is the stress aspect. And say something has gone on, and I think back to when my mum passed away and I struggled and struggled with the grief. And maybe something's gone on in your life. Maybe you haven't lost somebody, but maybe you've lost something else, or maybe something's gone on and you just don't realize that you're just hitting that sugar because it's a comfort to you. You're eating out of emotional response and not out of, again, being hungry or needing that kind of thing. So there's several things to take stock of when it comes to our cravings. And keep in mind that even if we're craving what we think is sugar, and people think, oh, well, I'm craving potato chips, it's still all clumped into the same thing, whether it's sugar or whether it's carbs, it's all roped into the same thing, right? Whatever we're craving, we have to take stock of what's causing this craving.
Could it even be that I need something in my life?
Yes.
Maybe I need a hobby. Maybe I need some type of purpose. So like you said, it's good to step back and journal.
Yes.
And be honest about that when you're journaling, to take stock in how am I living my life and what am I craving? Could it really be non-food, that craving?
Yes.
So it's so awesome that you are teaching this class. I think education in a world that has just conditioned us to eat just about anything and call it food. It's so great that you're doing the work that you do. And I am excited. And this is the way that I feel I can be of service, is to educate people and meet them right where they are.
Right.
It's fascinating to meet you and know
Thanks.
That you're in the world trying to help people. Because if you can lose the sugar, oh my goodness, your world changes, your life changes.
Does.
You literally can look at food in a different way, in a way that's just functional, just something I need for sustenance.
Yes, and I think that you enjoy your life more. People don't see that at the outset, but you can really enjoy your life more because you have more energy and you've got much more comfort and emotional stability when you're not craving these things.
Absolutely. Lynn, is there anything else you would tell the listeners that could support them in jumpstarting their journey?
So the first place I tell people to start is by eliminating processed foods, again, a bit at a time. You love bread and you're addicted to it. We have Publix here in Florida. Mm-hmm. Go into Publix in the bakery and buy their home-baked bread instead. It doesn't last as long. Put half of it in the freezer if you need to, but start switching out. Find healthy swaps for your foods. In the plant-based community, there are lots of healthy plant-based desserts that we can have if we're craving something sweet.
Yes.
And just journal, as you say. Journal, 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 because that's going to lay it out plainly for you.
And literally help you to figure out, what am I really craving?
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your invaluable insights and personal journey. It's truly been an enlightening conversation and one that's needed now more so than ever. Because as you know, more and more people, especially the young people, are pre-diabetic. So yeah. Before you even become adult, you're on your way to diabetes from eating the standard American diet. So I'm just so grateful for you and the work that you do. And to our listeners, as we wrap up today's episode, I encourage you to reflect on your own relationship with sugar and consider the steps you can take to make positive changes. As Lynn has shared with us today, it is definitely something that could save your life in the long run. And remember, your journey to better health is always within your reach, with intention, with commitment, and just being true to yourself. So for more information on Lynn Wadsworth and her resources, I will have that information in the podcast description for this episode, as well as our website.
Thank you for joining us on the Plant-Based Curious podcast. We really hope you've enjoyed our discoveries, experiences, and resources about the plant-based vegan lifestyle. Remember to click that subscribe button so you can join in on our future conversations. Until next time, allow yourself a little time and good energy.